Let's bring him in, BC. Brian Christopherson joins us every Friday. BC, happy Friday. How's life? How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm good. You know, we've talked in previous weeks about so quiet. It's just boring this offseason. Get to death.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's I had a take, gosh, a couple weeks ago saying, you know what Tim Miles needs is some football news to take a little of the spotlight. It's like, okay, well, we got a whole bunch of football news. I guess let's start with the big news. And boy, it's been interesting to watch this story kind of evolve and change each day with this Maurice Washington story. I guess what's your, from when the story broke on Monday till right now, what's kind of been your reaction as you've digested this thing?
I've tried to be cautious with it, especially in my job, but I think everybody should be. Whenever it gets to it where it's a legal situation, I like to get really just fact-based. This is what is known. Here it is, and make what you will of it. And I know there's a whole dissection going on of, you know, what Nebraska knew and when they knew it. And so I thought the statement yesterday was helpful for them to put out. And I heard your take earlier that maybe that should have come out a couple days sooner or been maybe a little bit more specific like that off the bat. And I would probably agree with that because I thought yesterday's statement at least cleared it up from their vantage point.
Right.
Made it easier for people to understand. So I thought that was useful. I guess the one thing, and I'm not, look, if some of the stuff that's in the court records that are alleged are accurate, I think we can agree, very poor judgment by Maurice Washington.
Horrible judgment.
I mean, I think we can already say that if some of the stuff that's alleged is accurate. I think when it comes to this discussion, which some people will have about, well, why did, was he played? You know, why did they play him? I would point out, and I think this does matter, and I haven't heard it stressed as much, that these charges were not formally made, or that they weren't going to file charges and seek a judge's signature until December 17th. And so I think sometimes we got to be careful. Until something is written down and documented, it's hard to, whether you're talking about a player or an employee or anybody, it's hard to punish somebody at that point when you don't know exactly what it is, maybe, or where something's even going. And kind of reading between the lines, I got the sense that maybe, you know, John Bruning and some folks didn't think this was going to rise to what it
did. I think that's certainly what it looks like.
So if you're sitting there in August or September, you're maybe thinking this is one of those things that's kind of off the side that, you know, it's something, but it's not going to rise to anything major. But I do think it is important because when I've been in the journalism business, you can't really write stuff until it's legally documented and stuff. And I think the same kind of goes for acting on how you punish people. And as of the fall, there had been nothing against Maurice Washington other than they wanted to talk to him. It was December when this kind of took on more of a formal representation of, okay, there's a problem here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't have any, at this point, going off of what we know, I don't have any issue with Nebraska playing him last fall. And I also, even, I mean, it's one of the things that I think is really hard for, particularly because we're talking about sports, coaches, is, you know, where do we draw the line on, you know, an accusation or an allegation rising to a suspension? You know what I mean? Because if you know, the whole innocent until proven guilty thing exists off the field, then you would think it should somewhat exist on the field. Like, I just don't think, I think those things are a lot more nuanced than some people want to make them out to be.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm saying. I think you put it well there. I mean, if you're innocent legally until proven guilty, I kind of feel the same way about how it translates to whether you should be playing or at work or whatever, whoever, you know.
Right, right.
If there's something in the air, there's a lot of things that are in the air about people that don't get, you know, brought into a formal sense legally. And so I just think it is a tough thing. And I know that sounds like it's being a defense attorney for them over there at North Stadium, and that's not really what I'm saying, but that's really my viewpoint on any matter like this. Until you have that documentation, it is difficult to act in most situations, especially when you're not maybe exactly clear what it is.
I agree. It's hard because, you know, we don't know what's necessarily going to happen. I mean, what right now, like, you try to look in your crystal ball at all? Like, what do you think? I mean, is Washington on the field next year? Is he, I mean, I, this is going to be, I don't know, BC.
Yeah, I don't, it's hard to know because this is really, since he's been at Nebraska, Scott Frost's first kind of tough decision off the field, I think, with one like this. One of the things, I've said this before, but, and I don't know if this one will rise to this level, but it might, that I appreciate that's kind of changed in college football, is that a lot of this stuff gets put on to the university to kind of decide, or there's,
true,
you know, a panel or somebody that will sometimes weigh in on things like this. And I don't know if this matter will get to that or not, but I do think if it is felt like this is a tough call where you kind of need to take it away from the coach's hands, I think sometimes that's useful to the coach in a way, because it protects him a little bit.
Right,
you know,
takes it out of his hands, right.
That call. So I don't know what will happen exactly with that. I think we just got to see if, you know, I assume, I'm kind of guessing there'll be some sort of plea deal and that's what's going to happen, but that's just guessing. We'll
right,
see.
Right. Okay, from one big story to another, Mike Dawson, defensive line coach, leaving his spot on Nebraska staff, heading to the New York Giants. We'll start with Dawson himself. How big of a loss is Mike Dawson?
I think a pretty big one, because I think he was a solid coach who had a good NFL background that taught those guys some things that they hadn't learned, even though they've had a few D-line coaches. And I think it's disappointing because, you know, we've talked about before how the secondary has kind of had this carousel they've been on where they've been switching coaches almost yearly for a while. This year it doesn't appear they're going to, which is good for them. But the D-line has started to become that a little bit as well. And obviously some of that's due to the staff shakeup that's happened at multiple positions. But now, you know, in 5 years, those guys who have been here 5 years, a couple of them, are going to have four different coaches. And so that's a lot of different opinions they're hearing, and that can be good, but it also can be a lot to process sometimes. And I also think Mike Dawson, we'll see how his recruits pan out, but you have to say on paper, he did a pretty darn good job this year. I mean, he had some guys that are impressive. Ty Robinson being the headliner there, where Scott Frost said he doesn't know if he'd ever seen somebody get after a guy quite like Mike Dawson did in getting Ty Robinson. So he really proved himself and was very good in the Northeast and kind of helped Nebraska and the New Jersey area and some of that. So I don't think it should be undersold. I do think the last part I'd say is he was making $475,000. That's a lot of money for a position coach. And I'm not saying they're going to pay that much to the next guy, but that this is a very attractive job.
Sure.
Because the salary is going to be good. And also it's a good room because they've got like this mix of veterans like Carlos and Khalil Davis. Then they got these younger guys like Tate Wildeman and Casey Rogers and these true freshmen coming in. It's got kind of a nice mix of old and young that I think a guy who is coaching would kind of like to teach.
What do you think this program needs in its next D-line coach? They need a teacher, recruiter. Like, what do you think this program needs?
Well, I mean, it's always an all of the above to me, but I think they need a developer as much as anything. You know, I think they need that guy who can take a player and maximize him. And there's probably been a few players in the past who I think have fallen through the cracks in that regard. And, you know, whether they came in here as like a 3 or 4 star, they didn't end up maybe being that type of guy. And you thought, well, there's probably more that you could have got out of them. So I think that's, if I had to say one, I think they really need a developer, a guy who can really get in there and connect with them, and take them from one level to another level every year. And that's been missing in parts at Nebraska. And that's the reason they've struggled, is I don't think some guys have made as big a jump from when they first got here to 3 years later as you would hope. And so if you need a guy like that who can, I think also make guys feel like they're family, and where they just want to work hard, not just for themselves, but also that coach, where you just don't want to disappoint them.
Do you think how it's obviously a time of year that you don't necessarily have to fill this position ASAP, but you also don't want to just take forever. Like, you think when do you think this position's filled by?
I think it'll happen soon.
Yeah.
I bet it happens next week,
okay.
The announcement. I mean, that's just my bet. Because, I mean, spring ball starts March 4th, if I'm remembering the date right. So we're not that far away. I mean, you got to get a guy in here probably in the next week or so, because you would like him to have, you know, at least a week or, you know, 10 days to maybe get to know a few guys in the office and kind of figure out how they're going to attack practices and all that. So when you think of when the starting date is for spring ball, it would actually be kind of surprising if this hire wasn't known next week, I think. And also, you got to remember, Scott Frost knew that Dawson was leaving about 4 or 5 days before I think it was announced. So he got a jump on it.
True.
And so he knew that was happening. So he was probably a little bit down the road already when we were finding out about it.
Brian Christopherson. Well, BC, it didn't stay quiet for long. And now you're going to, you know, it's going to have the D-line coach. That's going to bring about a bunch of different stories and all that. So I hope you enjoyed a quiet time where you could. Okay. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And I hope that justice, I always want justice.
Yeah, me too. Right. You don't want to, exactly. You don't want to sound.
So I hope people understand that. My point on that December thing is, I just think it's tough until something is down in writing about a person, and to not allow them to do what they do.
That's
kind of how I think about all things.
I think certainly it depends on the nature of the allegation and accusation. Not all things are created equal. But at the end of the day, man, I don't, if all it takes is an accusation or an allegation or whatever, and that's enough to be a suspension. That's tough. But I think you and I see it the same way. I agree with you. I'm rooting for justice.
The word you used is nuance, and that's exactly right here. But nuance is not good for soundbite.
No, not at all. Not at all. BC, Brian Christopherson. Hey, great stuff. Have a good weekend, brother.
Yep, thanks, Nick.
You got it. Brian Christopherson. Yeah, I mean, it's. I feel like you can be for justice and also for, like, the whole process playing out, you know? I mean, I don't know. I think this thing's a little more nuanced than people think. That's just me. All right, good stuff with BC. Matt Chick, 1 o'clock hour, wide open, 12 o'clock hour. You can hit me up, 402-951-1620. Email me, nick@1620thezone.com, or hit me on Twitter @NickBaugh. Put a ball in the 11 o'clock hour next.